Our text for today is Matthew chapter 21. We're reading verses 23 through 32 today. We're thinking about God's good pleasure on this Pentecost Sunday. Our text for today is an episode in the life of Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, it is toward the very end of his life, a very important experience and encounter he has with some religious authorities. We connect this text today to the day of Pentecost. I invite you to hear God's word today. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin?" Well, they discussed it among themselves, and they said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father said to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of the righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Several years ago, there was an unfortunate incident in an elementary school. A six-year-old boy was mauled by a tiger at a school assembly. It was one of those programs that goes around to different schools and they make presentations. And this one happened to use a real tiger. The tiger would be brought into the school on a leash with a trainer leading the tiger into the gathered assembly. But on this particular day, as the trainer and the tiger made their way into the assembly, somehow the tiger escaped from the trainer. He jumped over a few rows of chairs and began to attack the little six-year-old boy. Fortunately, in this incident, the principal was actually standing nearby, and somehow the principal was able to wrestle the little boy away from the jaws of the tiger, and the little boy was saved. Later, when the company who made the presentation was interviewed, a spokesperson for the company said, "Well, you know, it actually really wasn't an attack. It was just in the case of a playful tiger wanting to have some fun." I'm sure that may have been true from the tiger's perspective, but I don't imagine that the six-year-old boy nor his family thought of this incident as a playful tiger wanting to have some fun. Tigers are unpredictable animals. They are wild animals. And we know strange things can happen with that which is wild. Sometimes it can be frightening when that which is wild comes into a scene that is calm and peaceful and serene environment. Today, as you've already heard from the beginning of our service, is Pentecost. Earlier in our service, Jordan read for us Acts chapter 2 that tells us what happened in the early church when the Holy Spirit came into the dwelling where the Christians were gathered. The text tells us they were all together in one house, as Jessica and the children discussed. And as it's described, it was a peaceful, calm, quiet scene. The Bible says they were all just sitting there together, a rather docile, serene environment. But the Holy Spirit comes in. And you remember how the Bible presented it. It was the blowing of a violent wind. It was tongues of fire. It was people speaking in languages that they had never spoken before. It was a wild, chaotic, frightening scene. But the wildness of this scene, well, it was very different from the wildness that we talked about with the tiger earlier in this sermon. The Holy Spirit seemed chaotic at first. The coming of the Holy Spirit into this environment seemed wild. It seemed to create disorder. But all of this was God's doing to lead to new creation, to peace, to order, to structure. This Holy Spirit would become the comforting, abiding, peaceful presence of God in the lives of the early church. I invite you to think about it with me this morning. One of the primary themes of Scripture, from the very first words of the Bible in Genesis to the very end of Revelation, one of the primary themes is this: God is always moving life from chaos and disorder to peace and structure and purpose and harmony. God is always moving life from chaos and wildness and disorder and brokenness to wholeness and peace and comfort and meaning. You remember the very beginning of Genesis when God is creating the world. In the opening words of Genesis, we read that God creates matter and does what? Gives it form, gives it structure, gives it purpose. In other words, God takes that which could have become disorder and disruption and gives it a plan, gives it a purpose, gives it structure, gives it meaning. God is always moving life from chaos to new creation, from brokenness to wholeness, from disruption and disorder to structure and purpose and meaning. In our text for this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, we find Jesus and the disciples are in Jerusalem. Now, as Matthew tells us, this is just after the triumphal entry when Jesus has caused a lot of disruption among the people. It is also just after Jesus cleansing the temple. Again, causing disruption and disorder, turning over tables, driving animals and money changers out of the temple. This text occurs right after those incidences. And when we think about chaos and wildness and maybe even disorder in the life of Jesus, probably the one instant that comes to mind is when he clears the temple, releasing the animals, turning over tables of money, driving out people who were cheating others in the house of God. It was a wild, chaotic experience. Certainly, the religious authorities thought that Jesus was out of control. They certainly thought that he was wild and chaotic in the temple that day. And now he comes back into the temple. So they have a question for him. They come and ask him what seems to be a logical question. They say, "What gives you the right to do what you did in here the other day? By what authority do you come into the temple and do what you did? What gives you the right to do that? Where do you get the authority?" In other words, they were saying, "How dare you come into our temple and disrupt what we are trying to do?" Well, Jesus doesn't answer them right away. Instead, he offers a question of his own. He says, "Well, let me ask you about John the Baptist." He says, "Was John the Baptist and his baptism, was it from heaven or was it from human beings?" Now, on the surface, that question seems like a rather strange, unrelated question to what was happening here. It was a justified question that the religious authorities had asked Jesus, but he asked them this strange question about John the Baptist. Well, they go over and they begin talking with one another, and they come back and they say, "Well, we can't really give you an answer to that question." See, here's the issue. If the religious leaders believed that John's ministry was from God, if it was inspired and blessed by God, and if John the Baptist was the one who baptized Jesus, and if they said that out loud, then why wouldn't they be receptive of what Jesus was doing? He was essentially asking them, what is it that you believe about John the Baptist and about me? How do you understand us? Are we from God or are we not?" Let me phrase it another way. Are we causing chaos and disruption, or are we working with God for peace and harmony? How do you see us? Again, they talk with one another, and the religious authorities give the only possible answer that they can give, the only answer that makes sense. They say, "Well, we really don't know. We're really not sure about John's baptism." They knew they couldn't say one or the other, so they say they're not sure. And Jesus says, "Well, then I can't answer your question if you can't answer mine." And it seems that the discussion has come to an end. But it hasn't ended. Jesus actually gives these religious authorities another chance. He tells them a short story. Again, it's kind of a strange, unusual story. He says there was a father with two sons, and the father asked both of his sons to go to the vineyard to do some work for him. One son said, "Nah, I don't really want to do that. I think I'll sit here and watch TikTok all day." You know, not really, but that's what he meant, right? "I'm not going to do that." But Jesus says he changed his mind, and he actually went and did it. The other son says, "Yes, Father, I will gladly do whatever it is you want. You just name it, and I'll be glad to do whatever it is you are asking of me." But he never went and did the work. And Jesus says, "What do you think about this story? Which of the two sons actually did his father's will?" And the religious leaders give the only answer they can give. "Well, obviously, it's the one who said he wasn't going to do it, but he actually went and did the work. It was the one who did what his father had asked." It's a strange story. We might wonder, why did he tell this story? What was the purpose? But then, at the end of the text, Jesus tells us why he told this story. He says to the religious leaders, "You see, the rejected people in our society today, you know who I'm talking about," he says. He says to religious leaders, the people you look down on, the people that you think are of no value, the people that you always think you are better than them, the people who you think are the scum of society, people like tax collectors, people like prostitutes, Jesus says, guess what? They are entering the kingdom of heaven before you, ahead of you. In other words, those who are despised and rejected in our society, those who you look down on, who think they are of no value, they are actually the ones who said no to God at the beginning, but have repented and are doing what God wants them to do, while you, Jesus says, you authority figures, you who think you are better than everyone else, you have said the right things, but you are refusing to do God's will, even though you said you would. You are the ones creating chaos and disruption. You are the ones not partnering with God for peace and harmony in this world. Jesus is answering their earlier question, isn't he? Jesus is saying, you want to know about my authority? My authority is because I am doing what God asks me to do. My authority is I am following God's will for my life. My authority is my obedience to God. I am partnering with God. But those who are despised in this society are working with God as well, but not the religious leaders. When we began this sermon, we were talking about the wildness of life. So now we ask in this text, who really are the wild ones here? Is it Jesus? He's the one in the temple who is turning over tables and releasing animals and driving people out. Is he the wild one? Or do we hear what Jesus is saying? No. That's not the chaos and disruption of this world. The chaos and destruction and disruption of this world is done by those who say they are going to do what God wants them to do, but their actions never follow their words. The wild ones here in this text, Jesus says, become the religious authorities who are refusing to participate with what God is doing in this world. The religious authorities are the one refusing to end the chaos of this world, refusing to become part of God's new creation, refusing to partner with God's creative purposes for this world. What about us? Where do we fit into this story? What about you? On this Pentecost Sunday, as we give thanks for the gift of the church and the Holy Spirit, who are you in this story? The one who initially resists, but then goes ahead and does what God wants anyway? Or the one who talks the good talk? The one who says all the right things? The one who uses all the right words? The one who presents the right face, but causes chaos instead of peace? In Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi, there were some people who were causing chaos there. There were some people in the church who were saying that a person had to become Jewish before they became Christian. In other words, they had to follow all the laws in order to become a Christian. In other words, there was a prescribed way that they had to do things. It was not fitting with the grace and the freedom of Christ. But there were others who said, no, that's not necessary. Only faith in Christ is what's important. It was a big argument. It was wild. It was chaotic. So Paul writes to these Christians and he calls them to be, quote, of one mind. He calls them to agree on the mind of Christ. Listen to the words that he wrote. He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Basically, Paul was asking the Christians in Philippi to become like the early church in Acts. You remember how the book of Acts describes the early church after the gift of the Holy Spirit? It tells us that they were of one accord, of one mind, of the mind of Christ. In other words, that's how Christians partner with God's Spirit. That's how we as Christians interact with one another and with the world. That's how we participate with what God's Spirit is doing in the world today. That has always been what God is doing. Moving from chaos to new creation, from disruption to purpose and meaning, from brokenness to harmony, creating peace in the midst of the wildness and chaotic nature of life. This morning, the good news on Pentecost Sunday is that's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants for you. Not wildness, not chaos, not brokenness, not disharmony, not disruption. God is working in your life for order, new creation, structure, meaning, purpose. God is working in your life to move from that which is filled with strife and conflict to the peace of Christ, the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. On Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded of the opportunity that we are given to participate with what God is doing in this world and in our lives. And God is doing the same in our church. For 150 years, God has been helping the people of First Baptist Roswell to be a light in this community, to move from darkness to light, from brokenness to peace, from conflict to harmony and new creation. God is at work within us. God is at work within you to bring about God's good pleasure. Our responsibility today is to make a conscious decision to act, to do what God is asking and calling us to do. Unlike the religious authorities of Jesus' day, we are not asked to say just the right words, but we are called to act, a conscious decision to do what God wants. In a marriage ceremony, the minister does not usually ask the couple, do you love this other person? That is often assumed. But instead, the question is, will you love this person? For better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in the future, in your behavior, in your actions, will you love this person? Don't just say the words, but demonstrate this love, act this love. That is the question. One of my favorite stories from Native American folklore is the story of a Native American grandfather who is speaking to his grandson. And he's talking to his grandson about his own feelings, his own emotions. And as he talks to his grandson, he says to his young grandson, I feel, son, that there are two wolves fighting in my heart. One is a ferocious, violent, wild, chaotic, angry wolf. And the other is a loving, peaceful, compassionate wolf. The young grandson thinks for a moment and then asks his grandfather, Grandfather, which wolf in your heart will win? And the grandfather answers, the one I feed. The one I feed. God is at work in this church, in your lives, to bring about God's good pleasure. But within each one of us, there is always this temptation toward chaos. There's always this temptation toward brokenness. There's always a temptation of pulling even toward the strife and conflict of life. On Pentecost Sunday, the question is simple. Which wolf will we feed? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, your word always reminds us of hope and calls us forward in life to the purpose and meaning and harmony and peace that you are working toward. This morning on Pentecost Sunday, Lord, may each of us commit to feeding the wolf that works and strives toward that peace and harmony and good pleasure of God that you want for each one of us. Give us such strength and courage to be your people in a frightening, wild, and chaotic world. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.